Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pure Multifamily REIT third quarter results conference call. At this time, note that all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentations, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during the call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for an operator. Note that this call is being recorded on Tuesday, November 6, 2018. And I would like to turn the conference over to Pure Multifamily's Vice President, Investor Relations, Andrew Greig. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Andrew Greig, Vice President of Investor Relations for Pure Multifamily REIT LP, and I would like to welcome you to our discussion of our Q3 2018 financial results. We will keep our opening remarks on this call brief, trusting that you've had a chance to review our consolidated financial statements and the related MD&A dated November 5th, 2018, for the 3 and 9 months ended September 30th, 2018. If not, the documents are available on our website at puremultifamily.com under the Investor Info section or on SEDAR. With me today on the call are our CEO, Steve Evans, CFO, Scott Shillington, and Senior VP, Samantha Adams. Following our formal remarks, we will conduct a Q&A session, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to line up your questions. Before we get underway, I would like to make a safe harbor statement. The following discussion will include forward-looking statements that involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to be materially different from future results expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. These statements reflect current expectations of management regarding future events and operating performance, and Pure Multifamily assumes no obligation to update or revise them to reflect new events or circumstances except as required by law. For a further description of the forward-looking statements, including risk factors relating to our company and our business that could cause actual results to differ materially from the results discussed in the forward-looking statements, please refer to our MD&A dated November 5, 2018, which is available on SEDAR.com or on our website at puremultifamily.com. I would now like to pass the discussion on to our CEO, Steve Evans.
Thanks, Andrew, and thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Despite an unusual and challenging year to date, Pure Multifamily posted another very strong quarter operationally, resulting in 3.4% same-property revenue growth year-to-date and 10.2% same-property NOI growth year-to-date. We are happy to report that, as per Bloomberg, since our IPO, measured up to October 30th, Pure Multifamily REIT is the number 3 best-performing REIT in Canada for total shareholder returns out of the 34 REITs that existed during that time. From the first quarter that we were able to report same property quarterly results, we have posted 19 quarters to date, during which 17 out of those 19 quarters posted solid same property NOI growth, and in fact, we have averaged an impressive 7% same property NOI growth over that period. I would now like to pass the discussion on to Scott Shillington, our CFO, for his comments on our financial performance.
Thanks, Steve. Before going through the financial highlights for the quarter, I'd like to note that all amounts stated on this call reflect Pure Multi's interest, as disclosed within the MD&A. We feel Pure Multi's interest provides the most useful information to the unitholders when looking at our financial results. Within the MD&A, we have provided a reconciliation that reflects these adjustments. Looking at our third quarter, 2018, versus the third quarter of 2017, same property rental revenue increased by 3.3%, which was driven by an increase in same property average rent of 1%, an increase in same property physical occupancy of 20 basis points, and a decrease in same property concessions of 59.6%. This led to same property net rental income, an increase of 8.3%. At the end of the quarter, we reported a debt to gross book value ratio of 52.7%. Total portfolio lease occupancy of 96.8%, an increase of 180 basis points over year-end 2017, and a portfolio weighted average year of construction of 2007, or just over 10 years of age. For the 3 months ended September 30th, 2018, G&A as a percent of revenue was 8%, and for the 9 months ended, it was 7.8%. Included within these G&A expenses are corporate level costs and all property management related expenditures subsequent to the internalization of the property management function, which was completed near the end of the prior year. During the third quarter, Pure Multifamily incurred approximately $544,000 of expenditures related to the strategic review process, which is currently ongoing. And year to date, we have incurred approximately $1.4 million. Excluding these costs results in a G&A as a percent of revenue of 6% for the quarter and 6.1% year to date. With the termination of the sale process announced near the end of August, we expect only a small amount of strategic review expenditures to be incurred during the fourth quarter of this year. For 2018, 16 of our 22 property tax values have been agreed to, leaving only 6 properties in the appeal process. We had a slight uptick in our Q3 property taxes due to a small rise in the mill rates applied during 2018 compared to 2017. I'd like to note that the current amount of property tax expense recorded is based on the worst case scenario, meaning if any of the 6 appeals currently outstanding result in a lower assessment, we will show a reduction in our property tax expense at that time. Hopefully, we will realize some of these savings during the fourth quarter of this year. However, depending on the timing of the results of these appeals, some of these savings may not be realized until next year. As currently booked, at the worst case scenario, the same property taxes, excluding any prior year refunds received, increased only 6.5%, looking at the entire year of 2018 versus 2017. This is important to note, as the increase appears to be within our historical norm for the year-over-year property tax increases on our portfolio and down from the prior 2 years where property tax increases reached into the double digits. During the third quarter, our FFO payout ratio was 122.1%, or 7.7 cents per unit, and year-to-date was 111.8%, or 25.2 cents per unit. And our AFFO payout ratio for the quarter was 131.5%, or 7.1 cents per unit, and 119.7%, or 23.5 cents per unit for the year-to-date. After normalizing these amounts by removing the non-recurring costs associated with the strategic review process, the FFO payout ratio was 112.1%, or 8.4 cents per unit for the quarter, and 104.5%, or 26.9 cents per unit for the year to date, and the AFFO payout ratio was 120%, or 7.8 cents per unit for the quarter, and 111.3%, or 25.3 cents per unit for the year to date. On a run rate basis, upon having our properties reach full stabilized levels, we expect our FFO and AFFO payout ratios to be in the low to mid 90% range, respectively. Our management's estimated NAV at the end of the third quarter is $7.21, or $9.36 using a 77 cent exchange rate. I'll now turn things over to Samantha, who will comment on the operations for the quarter.
Thank you, Scott. The challenge during this past quarter was focusing on normal operations. Despite higher than normal employee turnover, we continue to work diligently to reduce vacancy across the portfolio with the goal of reducing rental concessions being offered on new leases, primarily in locations featuring new supply. This strategy of focusing on improving occupancy across the entire portfolio has provided us with the ability to continue to raise rents whenever possible. Our Dallas portfolio is performing well. Despite some continuing supply challenges, our same property occupancy improved to 96%, up from 95.8% in the comparative period. The increase in occupancy and improving demand supported same property revenue growth for Dallas of 1.8% Q3 over Q3, and the NOI for Dallas increased 3.1% quarter over quarter. In Houston, our properties continue to demonstrate strength. Same property physical occupancy in Q3 2018 was 97.7% versus 95.5% in Q3 of 2017. As a result of our higher occupancy, same property revenues increased 5.3% quarter over quarter, and we experienced NOI growth of 12.9%. With respect to San Antonio, the same property numbers are continuing to improve as we have significantly lowered concessions. On a same property basis, our physical occupancy did decrease slightly by 0.9% Q3 over Q3. However, revenues increased by 5.6% for the quarter. And this led to an increase in NOI Q3 over Q3 of 17.6%. We continue to experience solid growth at our Phoenix property. San Brisas delivered 20.7% NOI growth quarter over quarter, and the physical occupancy increased by 200 basis points this quarter, while same property average rent increased by 3.7% which resulted in same property revenues increasing by 4.6%. On a portfolio-wide basis, we increased our weighted average rental rate to $1,278 per occupied unit, or $1.40 per square foot, for the third quarter of 2018, compared to $1,249 average rental rate per occupied unit, or $1.37 per square foot, for the same quarter of 2017. As our occupancy and revenues improve, we continue to diligently monitor and manage our cost structure, which, as indicated on prior calls, something our new systems have been very good at assisting us with. I will now turn things back over to Steve to wrap up.
Thanks, Samantha. As you just heard, we continue to produce strong financial results for our shareholders, and we remain very bullish about our future. The cost of single-family homes continues to increase. CBRE reports that median existing single-family home sales prices have increased in the U.S. annually by an average of 7.3% year over year from 2011 to 2017. Renting by choice continues to be one of the lifestyle alternatives. Despite interest rate fears, we believe that multifamily real estate is a defensive asset class, and we have worked to insulate the REIT from interest rate increases by extending our mortgage debt over 7, 10, 12, and 15-year terms. We currently have a weighted average term to maturity of approximately 8.1 years and a very low fixed weighted average mortgage interest rate of 3.72%. Although there have been increases in apartment supply in several of our markets, we continue to be impressed with the employment growth rates in our markets. CBRE ranked Phoenix, Houston, Dallas, and Austin as cities exceeding annual percentage employment growth rates of over 3% for the trailing 12 months ending June 2018. U.S. migration continues as Americans are moving from high-cost economies to the U.S. Sun Belt, seeking better employment opportunities, more affordable areas, and nicer weather. CBRE predicts that 1.7 million new households will move to Texas's largest cities of Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin between 2018 and 2030. That's up about 25% above the 1.3 million households that already moved to those same markets between 2008 and 2018. It's been an extremely busy year for the team at Pure Multifamily REIT, and I'd like to thank our board of directors for their hard work and our property management teams who continue to provide the ultimate residence experience at all of our properties. We'd like to thank our shareholders for their continued support, and with that, I'd like to open up the lines for any questions that anybody may have. Thank you, Mr. Evans.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. Note that questions will be taken in the order received. And if you should wish to withdraw your request, please press star followed by 2. And we do ask that if you're using a speakerphone, to please lift the handset before pressing any keys. And your first question will be from Fred Blondeau at Echelon Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning.
Morning, Fred.
Quick question for Sam to begin with. Just looking at your same property revenue, as you mentioned in Dallas, it was a relatively flattish in Q3. I was wondering if you could give us a bit more details in terms of the new supply you're seeing currently in Dallas, and what should we be expecting for 2019 in this regard. I was under the impression that you guys were expecting it to somewhat slow down this year, and that seems like it's not. So I was just wondering if you could give us a bit more color on that.
Yeah, supply still continues to be a bit of a challenge in a couple of our submarkets, the Frisco Plano submarkets, as well sort of the uptown area. And, when we had our call last time, the Q2 numbers that were being released certainly indicated a slowdown. We haven't actually experienced much of a slowdown in terms of new supply, so it'll be interesting to see what 2019 brings for us. And I don't know how closely anyone followed sort of the weather in Texas in particular in August and September. They had some incredible rainfalls, and it actually hampered leasing. We just didn't get the traffic that we would have typically expected in August and September, which are traditionally very, very strong leasing months. We've seen a slight improvement in traffic going through October, so I'm expecting Dallas to strengthen as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. And maybe to continue on Dallas, in the current interest rate environment, what are your views on cap rates entering in 2019?
Yeah, we haven't seen any real movement in cap rates. That tends to be a lagging indicator. At present, as we track assets that are available and selling, cap rates have been pretty consistent. There may have even been a compression in the last sort of 6 months. Very tiny, but it's really, I would say, consistent at this point.
Okay.
There was certainly room. I would add, I guess there was certainly room for that base, the interest rate environment, to see a move up in the floor without impacting cap rates, because it was a pretty good healthy spread there for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fair. And Scott, quick question here. I was wondering, will there be any spillover in Q4 and or Q1 from fees rating to the sale process?
Yeah. So when we all costs for the most part ended in Q3 when we announced the end of the process. So there might be a little spillover from late bills coming in, but nothing that we expect to be material at this point.
Okay, great. And lastly, maybe Steve, in regards to the sale process, if I may, what are your views on potential further activism, I guess, this year or next? And I guess, how do you prepare for it in the light of what happened this year?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question.
Okay.
Honestly, we don't know. That's the nature of activism. It's not necessarily anything to do with what we've produced for results. I mean, if that were the case, the fact that we're the third top performing REIT since we IPO'd of all the REITs in Canada would suggest that activists wouldn't target us per se. So I really can't answer the question. It's they're one of those things that are somewhat reactive.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Thank you. Next question will be from Brad Sturges at Industrial Alliance. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the color on the property taxes. Just on the, I guess, outstanding appeals. Is there a magnitude or amount of savings you think you could see, whether it's Q4 or into 2019?
I know we went through this last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was. It's hard to quantify. You just don't know what the result's going to be on those. So I think the way to look at it is, it's the worst case scenario right now. We've booked on based the initial statements we've received. It could be, you know, we between all six, it could be five of them which are in Dallas and one of them is in Houston, just to add that point. It could be 20 grand across the board. It could be 150 or 200 grand. It's just too hard to quantify at this stage until you actually start getting in those discussions.
But those are the rough goal posts, at least, range.
Okay. And just to clarify, I guess the year-over-year growth that you've seen, is that based on, I guess, the 6.5%, is that based on final assessments you've received, or is that what you've been baking into your assumptions, like on accrual?
Yeah, so that's based on the final property tax statements after all appeals for 2017 versus what we currently have booked now, so the ones we've agreed to, plus the six worst-case scenarios for the ones that are under appeal.
Okay.
So that 6.5 could decrease a little bit as well once we get the appeals done.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. And then, Steve, just in terms of where you are with the balance sheet now and leverage and thinking about growth from an external perspective, I guess you've got a little bit of cash on the balance sheet. How do you think about acquisitions now that you're past, the strategic review?
Yeah, good question, Brad. We don't have enough cash on our balance sheet to seriously look at acquisitions at the moment. And, of course, as we've traded off following the announcement of the termination of the process, largely in conjunction with a lot of the REIT sector's trade-off, but we probably got hit a little harder. We're certainly not in a position where we'd be issuing any equity at these ranges. So our focus for the immediate coming quarters will be to focus to kind of stick to our knitting, operationally speaking, and perhaps look at working our portfolio and looking at divesting one or two assets. Repositioning those assets into better growth opportunities. Along the same ways that we've done in the past when we worked our portfolio. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question will be from Dean Wilkinson at CIBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, guys.
Morning. Hey, Dean.
Just just continuing on with that, the work, the portfolio, when I look down the list, you know, I guess the ones that stand out to me would be something like a Hackberry and a Fountainwood, which are, you know, more of an 80s vintage and have lower leverage. Would that be, you know, is that sort of, you know, something that you're looking at, perhaps not actively, but, you know, would that be the type of asset you'd be looking to potentially sell?
Yeah, we typically review review our portfolio on a ongoing basis and you know, look at all aspects of it. It's not just the age. I know those are the ones that sort of jump out in terms of age, being that they're older, but they also produce great cash flow for us. So there's a balance there. It'll be the ones where we've done a little bit of value add in some cases, and just other assets if we feel like we can get better results by shifting, you know, from this region to that region. We can. That's the beauty of the 1031 exchange. We can be nimble with our capital without any tax drag, and pick the fastest moving streams, if you will, in terms of growth potential.
And if you were to say pick a market, would it be likely that it's possibly sales out of DFW and into maybe some of your other markets where there's a bit more growth, maybe?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay.
We believe that Dallas is actually over the long term going to do very well, you know, we also look at operating cost margins in various assets, various regions as well, and where we can get the most return on our invested capital. So I wouldn't say we wouldn't sell out of Dallas, but it's not necessarily going to be Dallas, even though we have a larger number of assets there.
Okay, great. And just looking at the 2019 debt maturity on Walker Commons, that one looks like it's, you know, you're going to be rolling off a pretty decent rate there. Where do you think you roll into in terms of the interest rate on that one, going from 3.11 to whatever it may be?
Yeah, we've been looking actually at the Walker Commons and Bear Creek mortgages as those are maturing in 2019. So we're looking at refinancing those right now. Rates, you're right, I think Walker was 3.11 and Bear Creek was 3.49 or
3.49, yeah.
Rates right now are around 4% or so, depending on what kind of term you get, low fours. Obviously, they could move over the next few months as things happen, but we would expect a slight uptick in the interest expense for sure.
And you're going for sort of your 7 to 10 year kind of term on that?
Yeah, I mean anywhere between 5 and 10.
Okay, that's good. And just the last one for me is looked like there was a bump up of about $2.5 million in the quarter on the mortgage reserve fund. Was there a reassessment in terms of CapEx that you had to spend, or how did that sort of that number increase?
So the majority of the mortgage reserve fund is property tax, basically putting property tax away to pay it in December or January when they come due. So it's just, again, it's just going to be quarterly. You're just adding to it every quarter. Some of the properties are kept in-house in our bank accounts, and some of the mortgage lenders require us to put money with them. So the majority of it's property tax, and another portion of it's insurance when that comes up. There's very little CapEx for our properties are relatively new, so there's not much CapEx.
They're not making you hold a reserve on the CapEx.
Very minimal.
And of that amount, is any of that captured in the appeals that you've got going on? I guess it's, you know,
the mortgage lenders at the start of the year have their set amount. So if we overfund and then we just have a credit in there for next year, this wouldn't deplete it all. If we underfund, then there's a top up that's done at year end.
You mean the
so
bank doesn't
really give, has nothing with appeals.
The bank doesn't give you your money back?
Well, depending on if they
eventually.
I mean, sometimes they do, but for the most part, they just keep it for next year. And
it's funny how that works, huh?
Yeah.
That's it for me. I'll hand it back. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Next question will be from Himanshu Gupta at GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning.
Morning.
So, Scott, you mentioned expected payout ratio of low to mid-90s, 90% on stabilized level of occupancy. What are you expecting normalized occupancy for this calculation? And what property tax increases are you expecting for 2019 in your internal budgets?
For the stabilization levels, I think we kind of expect all of our properties to be operating kind of 95 to 97% in a stabilized market, as well as concessions are factored out at that point. So it's once you're at an equilibrium value of your supply-demand ratios. So some of the properties, some of the newer properties you bought, obviously are still going through that, and some of the markets are newer markets with lots of supply coming in. So it could still be a little ways away before all properties are stabilized. Your second question was on property tax increases. We haven't gone that far yet into 2019. I would expect, though, since we're kind of back in historical normal range, across our portfolio, kind of a 5 to 8% same store property tax increases year over year.
Right. Okay. And just to be clear, on in terms of occupancy gains, you mentioned, you know, to like 95-97% level. This is despite the elevated level of supply we are seeing for the next year. So
correct.
I guess the
stabilization
would be over the couple of years rather than just next year.
Yeah, and as Samantha mentioned, it's kind of submarket by submarket within the DFW area. That's where most of the supply is coming in.
Right. Okay, and then probably more for Sam, in San Antonio market, you mentioned about the decreasing net concessions. So are we almost done here now? I mean, or do we still see some amount of concession next year as well?
Yeah, in the San Antonio market in particular, there will always be concessions. It's just the nature of that market, but they are certainly significantly lower than we've experienced.
Got it. Okay, and probably the last question, a general question. As for Wall Street Journal, Dallas was one in top three for the Amazon HQ2, along with two other cities. What have you been hearing in this regard? And in general, what's the employment growth outlook for Dallas market in particular?
You want to talk about it?
Really don't have anything more in terms of insights on where, you know, what where the winning location would be. What would the second part of the question employment growth. Well, employment growth continues to be fairly robust. I don't have a stat on the at my fingertips, but Dallas continues to produce fairly robust job growth, and there seems to be no if I can say it that way, but, you know, it ebbs and flows a little bit, but they're always in that top percentile of U.S. cities in terms of the employment growth they're generating. So the tax environment, the pro-business environment, central location, all the things that have been creating a perfect storm in a positive way for employment growth continue in Dallas's favor, so we don't see that softening significantly in the future.
Okay, thank you for the caller. I'll turn it back. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you. Next question will be from Mark Rothschild at Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. You mentioned that the strategic review is ongoing, but the sale process has been terminated. Can you give a little color on then what is the strategic review? What is it reviewing? What are maybe some of the options being considered, and what this actually means?
Sure. Simplistically, the special committee is still in place. They haven't terminated that, despite the sale process ending. And the ongoing, strategic review is more about what other alternatives that we should be focusing on in the coming quarters and beyond. And so that's more of a strategy planning mechanism that they've shifted to at this point in time.
Okay, and then just following up on a question you were just asked about stabilizing NOI and that would get the payout ratio down. It sounds like that's something that is that a 2 to 3 year target, or am I understanding that correctly?
It's for 80% of our properties, we're kind of there already. So it's, you're right. Some of the newer ones, the brand new ones we bought that were just built. Some of them could be 6 months away from stabilizing, and you're right, some of them could be a couple years away. It just really depends on how that supply comes in. Every quarter, as we look at the various reports, I think Fred mentioned it earlier in his question, that Q2 is different than the Q3 reports that come out. So it really just depends on the quickness of those new builds coming online and how they affect the current properties that we have in those areas. So you're right, it could be a couple years away, but for some of the properties, obviously, it's not going to be that long.
Okay, and then just maybe lastly, and you spoke about this somewhat already as far as Dallas goes, the market, there is job growth, but the market has softened somewhat. Maybe we could just give an outlook over the next 12 to 24 months. What type of same-store NOI or rent growth do you think is achievable?
Yeah, we're still, moving into 2019. I mean, we're still hopeful that we're going to be back in that sort of 3-4% revenue growth across, on the same store basis across our portfolio. So that's the plan anyway moving forward. And then, of course, if we can, work with the consultants and bring those taxes, property taxes down, that's going to go a long way actually to helping the bottom line too.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Next question will be from Matt Kornack at National Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Sam, yes. Just a quick follow-up on that point. In terms of your rent growth or revenue growth expectations, is that at this point, do you see rents starting to move, or is it going to continue to be reducing concessions? And I'd assume your occupancy is where you see it on a stabilized basis going forward, so it's really going to be rent-driven. Going forward, is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair, and we're starting to see a slight uptick in the rents in Dallas in particular, and the plan going forward is to keep that momentum going. Those are sort of the instructions that we've delivered. So that's what we're expecting to 2019 is increased growth in the actual rents in Dallas. Concessions in Dallas, while present, were not as big an item as they were, for example, in the San Antonio market. But regardless, we're still seeing those concessions come way off as well. So as we move into 2019, it's really going to be the basic rent increasing.
Okay. And then with regards to property taxes, I may have missed this in your earlier answers, but What is the formula there? Is it more on property value increases, or is it the mill rates that are changing in terms of the increased amounts? Just because 5-7% doesn't sound like a reasonable long-term growth rate unless it's going to be materially above inflation. So at some point, does that normalize to sort of 2% or around inflation, or what's your view on that?
Yeah, no, we since we IPO'd, we've kind of been experiencing 5-8%, and that's normalized, especially in Texas. Arizona assessment values are capped at a 5% increase every year, and they basically push that to 5%. The last couple years, we were experiencing double-digit property tax assessment value increases, and that's just because of the hot market, especially in Texas. It seems to normalize this year. So I'd expect going forward it'll continue to be kind of 5-8, hopefully at the lower end of that. Again, unless the market gets really hot like it had the last couple of years. Sorry, what was the second part of your question?
Well, presumably if interest rates are rising and continue to rise and cap rates rise, you'd see a slower growth in property values. I was just wondering
Yeah.
whether it's been the mill rate or the property value that's been driving
increase. Yeah, so this year, historically the mill rates have remained flat. This year we had a slight uptick in the mill rates, not very significant, but just a slight uptick, and that's one of the reasons we had our bump up this quarter. I think we had in front of me like a $70,000 bump up in property taxes across the board, and that was just due to some mill rate increases. A little bit to the property taxes still under appeal, but also some mill rate increases there, but nothing significant. Mostly it's just the value of the properties going up.
Okay. And then lastly, with regards to the sale process, I think you had mentioned during that review that there were a few other portfolios that were on the market of similar size. Have those transacted, and do you know if they've transacted at the price that was expected, or are they still outstanding?
I'd have to follow up and answer that for you offline, because I don't know the specifics. It's not necessarily always reported. But I can see if I can get some data for you. Right.
Okay. No, thanks.
Yep.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any questions, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. And your next question will be from Yash Sankpal at Laurentian Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Yash.
Just want to dig a little bit more into your NOI margins. They were down 340 basis points from last quarter, and they were up around 200 bps year over year. But if we consider the fact that, you know, all your property management is at the G&A line, then that...
Sorry to interrupt. Our margins weren't down that much. Are you looking at the financial statements or the Pure Multi's interest? Because it could just because of IFRIC 21, you're looking at the financial statements, which isn't really a comparable metric, the way property taxes are booked in the U.S. So you have to look at the Pure Multi's interest margins, which is reconciled within the MD&A to get a true NOI margin.
Yeah, I'm talking about that number. Your margins were 53.2, right, percent?
Yeah, and last year, sorry, one second.
I was comparing them against your Q2. 18.
Oh, sorry, I thought you came here last year. So that's seasonality, part of that.
Yeah, you can't.
Part of that's also just a uptick in the property taxes that we had to book in Q3 that we didn't have in Q2. So those are just kind of true-up events.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you got to look over last year to kind of...
Right, and if you look at last year's margins, the 51%, this year you're not booking any property management at the property level, right? It is at the G&A line.
Correct.
So considering that, the expansion doesn't look that much. So just want to understand if there is anything else going on.
No. So if you look at the same store basis, and if you adjust the property management fees to make them equal in both years, which then we actually get credit for the savings in G&A. But if you just look at that on equal-to-equal basis, we're actually flat on the quarter from a margin point of view, and from a year-over-year, we're actually up 50 basis points on a margin. So we are seeing, and that's even with the additional property tax booked in Q3 this year.
All right. Okay. Maybe I'll follow it up offline.
Okay,
thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Yash.
Thank you. And at this time, Mr. Evans, we have no further questions. Please proceed, sir.
Great. Thank you, operator. So on behalf of Samantha, Scott, Andrew, and the entire Pure Multifamily management team, we'd like to thank you for spending time with us today. Please don't hesitate to call us with any follow-on questions at any time. We're happy to discuss. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude your conference call for today. Once again, thank you for attending. And at this time, we ask that you please disconnect your lines. Enjoy the rest of your day.